Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks, T. How are you?
Good, thank you. Up to anything lately?
Well, now that school's underway and we're kind of into these fall months, many of the local organizations in the town have started back up again. And one of the ones I love is the Country Garden Club of Weston. I have no knowledge of gardens and I probably don't have a green thumb, but I so enjoy how they take advantage of kind of local places to go. So we went to Landsake Farm, which is an organic farm in Weston, which has...
That's across from the elementary school, right?
Right, where you worked, right? Didn't you work there one summer?
I did not, but...
Other people did,
other
picking
people
berries.
Definitely have,
But it's great because they built kind of a big farm stand. You can buy half bushels. But the nice thing is we went and we did flower arranging there. And so you're in a very cool kind of area. And you're using the flowers that are coming from Landsake. And then someone's showing you what to do with them. And I find that to be, particularly since I'm not very good at it, I love watching other people do it.
That's right, yeah.
And I love going to the Landsake Farm because it's local and it's organic and it's got vegetables and it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I feel like when I am watching videos on YouTube, I have that same feeling of like, oh, I'm not much for gardening, but I do like watching other people do gardening.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like
And I guess we're not alone.
Yeah. And I think the great thing about the garden club is they bring in people to talk to us about the seasons and what things you might use. And I like that because I didn't realize how many varieties there can be and approaches to kind of making decorative pieces out of flowers.
Right. Well, very cool. So this month we're talking about converting spaces at home. And this week we're talking about garages. So Mom, what do you think are some of the most common ways homeowners are converting garages?
I definitely think if people need a studio or a home office, just because after COVID, we still seem to have a lot of people working at home. And people don't necessarily have two offices or an extra bedroom. So, you know, garages are being converted to offices or space where someone can work. And I think that's probably the most common.
Yeah. So look, the traditional ones for your garage are it's a workshop or a shed, right? If you're not using it for a car, that was historically what you used it for. The interesting one I've seen is accessory dwelling units, right? So building like a little, basically carriage, you know, kind of like a carriage house, except...
Or an apartment above the garage for somebody, right?
Right, an apartment above the garage. But, you know, I've seen people convert like their garages outright into a little house and they just park their cars in the driveway.
Yeah.
And those are like, especially a detached garage. You saw that historically on some properties where they turned it into a sunroom. But I like a nice accessory dwelling unit, I think is a good way to... add value because, and to your quality of life, because you have an extra real space.
And I think we see that more and more with detached garages.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I think people want to maximize usable space. And if your house is not huge,
that's right.
It's a space that if you're not using for storage can also double as accessory dwelling, home office, studio for the artists, writers, that kind of thing.
Right. And, you know, I think the nice thing about a detached garage is you can take advantage of its scale, right? So one of the things about a smaller place is it's easier to get natural light because the floor plan is less broken up and the maximum distance to a window is smaller than it is in your main house. So I think you can actually make a really, really nice space
and
in
I've
your garage.
And I've seen people take like what we would traditionally think of as the garage door. And with the new contemporary garage doors out there, they've got a lot of light coming in. And it almost looks like a garage door, but in fact, it's a beautiful way to get light into that space.
That's right. That's right. So what do you think it does to the resale value?
I think anytime you bring new square footage into an existing home creatively, there are buyers that value that and will pay for that. If you don't need that space, you won't value it.
That's
but 99% of the time, additional space has value and will get more money for the sale.
We should caveat that as it might not get as much money as you spent on it, but it's not going to decrease the value of your home.
And it won't be a negative. In other words, someone won't come in and say, oh, why'd you do that?
That's right.
And that's some of the things that we see when people take spaces and make them into very specific areas.
Yeah.
And the next person just doesn't want what they've put in there.
Right. And then the last question is, what building codes or permits should homeowners be aware of before they consider converting?
Well,
I can answer this one.
Okay. You should be able to.
I know, right? Mr. Former Chair of the Planning Board.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, if you are maintaining the structure, you have quite a bit of latitude for what you do inside. It gets a little bit tricky when you create it into living space because there are codes, right? That basically, the state cares more about the quality of a space for a person than it does for your car. So there might be things about like what, you know, what kind of foundation does it have to be on, et cetera. But, you know, this is where the new ADU law came into play. Like the new accessory dwelling unit law in the state basically, you know, says...
gives people a lot more leverage to do what they need to do.
Yeah, and what you can look in your local zoning bylaw, they probably just have a section on accessory dwelling units. The state law is that wherever you can put an accessory building, like a garage or a greenhouse, you can put an accessory dwelling unit. So
it's interesting just to point two things out on that. One, I was talking to some people on the island of Nantucket, mm-hmm. and Nantucket not only has setbacks, but it has ground coverage.
Yeah.
So I was asking them right. about what do you do with an accessory dwelling unit, because the state says you can do it, mm-hmm. but Nantucket says they're using the ground coverage rule to directly related to the ability for someone to get an accessory dwelling mm-hmm, on mm-hmm. the property. So that's one thing. The second thing, too, that people should be aware of is in towns that have septic systems and you decide you're going to make it into some sort of
living space, yeah.
Living space with a bathroom, it's sometimes difficult. One, you have to have enough bedroom capacity in your septic to be able to add another space. And two, sometimes garages or accessory dwelling units are in the backyard and your septic is in the front yard. So the run to get to the septic tanks and field is quite long. So people have to talk to the Board of Health as well.
That's right. Well, awesome. So that's all we've got for you on converting your garage to a more usable space.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.